You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you want to be?
Where you want to be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it isn't, and it has to get done, it must be done, it will get done because you will get it done. Appreciate you for it, too. Believe me, we all do. The family does. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, too, you can go to any search engine that you might use, Firefox, Google, you know, whatever. Yeah, Bibi Adumi, yes. And put in babaoshi.net. 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 And once again, programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with your host, Brother Alfonso Watkins, in honor of Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement from 7 to 8 on Thursdays, from 8 p.m. until on Friday, because if it's Friday and it is 8 p.m., it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, Sankofa Elders Council, and then on Sundays at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Taihima was my guest this past Wednesday. Hope you enjoyed the conversation. You see, Brother Bomani is very serious about what he does and what he has been doing and what he will continue to do to open up Africa for Africans, for investment, repatriation, and visiting, and so forth. Once again, next week, on the 30th, he goes to Senegal, then to Gambia, returns on April 9th, from March 30th to April 9th, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. July 20th to July 30th, Rwanda. November 16th through the 27th, Tanzania. December 24th to January 4th, 2024, Azania. March 29th to April 9th, Liberia. July 11th through July 23rd, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. Look forward to all of these trips. They're very affordable. And just go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans.org. Habesha. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habesha Incorporated. The programs here, particularly in the Atlanta area, Habesha Works. Black to our roots. Sustainable seeds, golden growers, and urban green jobs. All of these things are vital to the investment within the community. Also, too, the Kashi Project, which was launched last year in October. And I look forward to going to Ghana and checking that out. Looking forward to see the beautiful buildings that were built and how that program is progressing. So I look forward to dealing with Habesha Incorporated.org. LEDGE. LEDGE stands for the LEDGE Group. LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The LEDGE Group. They deal in the four areas where it is vitally important for human existence. Food, water, clothing, shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries on the continent with over 170 employees and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group. Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. ABBITUMI, ABBITUMI.com. They have a call for papers and for their conference, the first ABBITUMI conference for Black Power. That's right. That's going to be August. Not August. It's July, Brother Oshie. Well, yes, it's going to be in July, July 7th through the 9th. July 7th through the 9th in Ghana. ABBITUMI. Go to ABBITUMI, ABBITUMI.com. It's my pharmacy. Brothers and sisters, give Brother Jabril a contact. Give him a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. It's my pharmacy. Or you want to do email? You can do that. Drop him an email at smyfarmacy@gmail.com. smaifarmacy@gmail.com. If you want to try to change your lifestyle and be more holistic and so forth, healthy, it's the thing to do. Moses West Foundation, brothers and sisters, the MosesWestFoundation.org and the Jackson Water Rescue. There's other projects, but this brother needs assistance. He needs donations for this project and other projects in the future, particularly the projects on the continent of Africa. There'll be money that can be earmarked for that because we need what this brother has to offer. And as I said, he should be up for a Nobel Prize because he's not looking for investors. He's not looking for you to invest and get money on your return because water should not be commodified. Water is an essential of life. And not just for humans, but for this planet. For this planet. And we need clean, drinkable, usable water. Even if it land erodes and so forth, you can grow fruit with aquaponics. Water is essential. So brothers and sisters, go to the MosesWestFoundation.org. MosesWestFoundation.org. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in the Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And Wadada's has tomorrow and Sunday, that's right, vegan food for sale. But they have a fine array of all kinds of pastries and smoothies and fruit drinks and health food. And supplements and all kind of good stuff. Check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Or give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, located in the Greenbrier Mall in the main strip. Mama Nia, give her a call at 404 346-326-3. 404-346-326-3. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, all kinds of good stuff at the Greenbrier Mall. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 9 and on Sunday from 12 to 6. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia and Coffee Bar in Lithonia, located on Main Street, taking I-20 West. I-20 West, get off on exit 74, make a left and stay straight on that on Main Street there. And on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. My good friend Gazimdi Ajamu, give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. He has all kind of t-shirts, all kind of stuff. That brother's, I like what he's done with that building. I remember coming there years ago, and since he's had it, it's just beautiful. So right on, my good brother, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Stay on that street, on Main Street, and now, okay, and now go south. And then once you go south, you back to I-20, make a left, and now you're still going east. So make that left. Go east to the next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market, family. Check it out. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, had their Thursday night broadcast last night. Every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. You can call to listen or give questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Beeges, I tell you, man, he's got furniture, clothing. He even has a vegan restaurant on the planet. On the premises. Man, I tell you. Oils, incense, beauty products, CDs, DVDs, literature. He has books. Yeah, I've been there, man. It's a beautiful place. He has it going on. Give him a call at 478-256-1166, 478-256-1166. He's open Tuesday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop there in Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 25. Contact Sister Shelly Amonset at 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Sister Gabby has been doing an outstanding job of helping our young children with education, health care, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Please, brothers and sisters, go to the website at Sanjay, SONJAYITI.org. SONJAYITI.org. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya at Akabin Institute. They need your support. You can donate through by sending a check or money order out to Akabin Institute, sending it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. You can use PayPal. You can go to PayPal, put in Y-A-A, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, at yahoo.com. Or you can use Cash App, the dollar sign, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your donations that way. You can make them one time, monthly, whatever. Whatever's on your heart, family. But the support is needed. Of course, you know Akabin Institute accepts no money outside of our community because they are educating warriors. They are educating warriors. Akabin House is the .com if you want to get some of the books that Baba Rudy writes, because you know he's a prolific writer. He is outstanding in that respect. So, also, too, what we announced on Fridays is Brother Yusuf Muhammad's Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, also on Blog Talk Radio. Brother Yusuf Muhammad, former president of the IABPFF, the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, as am I, and he's a good brother. His program is from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. You can give him a call to listen or to give questions, comments, or concerns at 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Brothers and sisters, the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. March 23rd. When deeds speak, words are meaningless. When deeds speak, words are meaningless. An African proverb. In our quest for real models of revolutionary warrior scholars, we must remember that our closest and most powerful heroes and sheroes rise during times of conflict with others. They are awakened to their power during our hardest of times. Conflict with enemies tests strengths and loyalties, struggle tempers. Our sheroes and heroes also held another quality in common. Even though death is a sure sign of being at war, they refuse to entertain it and have fear of it. As bona fide warriors, they were willing to die for the people. Martyrs do not want to die, but they recognize its historical inevitability when dealing with destroyers who know little else. Through their show of strength, they make it clear that as warrior scholars, we must know that we would rather die as Africans than vicariously and intimately live lives as Europeans. Like them, the future of our people must become more critical than our own physical survival. For us, this spiritual crisis challenges our deepest thinking about the mobilization of power and the creation of reality. Ashe. Affirm, struggle tempers me. Affirm, struggle tempers me. March 24th. There is no substitute for competence in building self-esteem. Absolutely none. A problem arises when the teacher focuses on self-esteem and not learning. I repeat, there is no substitute for competence in building self-esteem. Absolutely none. The problem arises when teachers focus on self-esteem and not learning. Dr. Barbara Sizemore. Self-esteem is a function of self-activation and practice versus constant, often gratuitous praise from others. Belief in one's talents and abilities, all mental evaluations must come from eternal work. Therefore, a permanent behavior modification must induce the development of an internalized initiative to succeed. These forces which motivate the individual and the group should be internally grounded versus externally manipulated. Taken versus given, and personally experienced versus taken versus given, and personally experienced versus vicariously fantasized. As the fisherman who learns to fish through trial and tribulation is better prepared to feed his family than the one who is reduced to the status of an ignorant, skillless, dependent beggar who knows only the charity of others, so too is the apprentice better prepared for life when difficult skills are required through determined practice, supported by occasional praise. Lastly, resilient self-esteem is required through struggle. The child who comes to feel good about self because every other successful and or unsuccessful little thing or effort is applauded and or rewarded comes to depend on that praise and or those things for ego gratification. His self-esteem is dependent upon, is dependent base. When those transitory supports are given less easily and frequently as the child grows and ages, the drive to independently work towards success fades with them. Affirm, I teach using obstacles. Affirm, I teach using obstacles. March 25th. We are dealing with people who are not penitent, exhibit no remorse for their wrongdoing, seek all possible means to persevere in their nefarious plots, and will find out, blame others. And when found out, will blame others for their misdeeds. I'm going to repeat that. We are dealing with a people who are not repentant. They exhibit no remorse for their wrongdoing, seek all possible means to persevere in their nefarious plots, and when found out, blame others for their misdeeds. Brother William Strickland. Our traditional wisdom teaches us that a person becomes human only through social and spiritual development. It is not an honor assumed at birth. Just because you came here in the same way that male or female does, does not become a man or a woman simply because they fathered or gave birth to a child. It is an achieved state gained through learning and correctly practicing those qualities such as being selfless, kind, considerate, generous, attentive, humble, caring, respectful, merciful, xenophilic, and conservative of that which is good, creative, and healing that have universally been defined as human creating. One learns from them through oral lessons and observations. This humanizing evolution in the individual can only occur within the context of an evolved and spiritually, intellectually, and emotionally mature community. Of course, since even when these qualities are stated as admirable, they are only practiced for show, to deceive, but not from the heart in Western society. This begs the question of whether Europeans ever became human. Ashe, affirm, I am human. Ashe, I am human. You know, when you are coming up and people see you and they see what you do and you're acknowledged what you do, they recognize your qualities, they see that you are courteous, they see that you're respectful, they see you're always willing to help, you're always willing to do things without, you know, acknowledgement and gratification, or, you know, you do things because you know that they're doing it right. And that is your mentality for your life, and that's how you are. That's why when people are called elders, when people are called jagnas, when people are called, you know, Baba, these are titles that are given to those individuals. They don't give these things to themselves. These are earned by observation and practice. When I say this program is Baba Oshi, is because that's what people call me. It's not that I want them to call me that. Although, because of my work in the community and what I have done, they call me that. Prior to that, they always called me Brother Oshi. And even that, I didn't give myself. I said that to the students I work with, just call me Brother Oshi. It's affectionate. But what was most important was the work.
The work is instilling information into the minds of our young men and young women. Information that is usable, information that is us. What I often told my mom, I've come to this school, which is all, I can't even remember if I ever really worked in a private school. They're all public schools for sure, you know. And I would say that I'm going to teach you things and show you things that you would not learn in this school. And that was my whole objective, because they wouldn't. They're not going to hear the things I'm going to be saying. Because that's what was important. That knowledge and that information. And what was interesting, my daughter back in Milwaukee, she was, in fact, it was St. Patrick's Day. She's out there, her and her cousin. They just like, hey, they love each other. I just love it. And so they were at this place. And so they called me up because these two young men who were twins are on the fire department. You know, she said, you're on the fire department? And then she said, my dad, your dad is, you know, Oshie. And, you know, because the thing is this, sometimes when you do things in life and you made these sacrifices, you've done some things in life, people will recognize you. And people still may even talk about you favorably, I hope. And because you've done some positive things. And so they heard of me. Because I helped start the Black Firefighters. I've always been an advocate, even though I've been gone since 2006. And so she called me up on FaceTime. I saw those two young men, definitely twins, you know. And then there was a brother who said, hey, I was in your class back in the 90s at Pulaski High School. Just like I saw a brother here on Juneteenth Day. Hey, your brother Oshie, or the sister, when I came back to Milwaukee, says, hey, you brother Oshie, because of you, I'm a teacher. You never know, family, what impact you make. You never know. That's why when you choose to be a Jagna, when you choose to be a model for those of us, hopefully you are sincere. And you carry yourself in that way. You know? Hopefully that's what you do. Because believe me, we need you. We need Jagnas. We need models. We need brothers and sisters who will do the best they can to help move our young people who are faced with many challenges, who are bombarded 24/7, 365 with the madness that is happening here. I venture to say the majority of our young people, the majority of our people, period, have no clue, have no idea what it means to be African. Many of them frown at it. Many of them ridicule it. Make light of it and fun of it. Not understanding that if we as Africans embrace our Africanness and go to the continent to embrace our Africanness and work with our brothers and sisters on the continent to free the continent of all the exploiters and all their minions, to control the land and the resources of Africa. Brothers and sisters, a new day, a new dawning on this planet. Otherwise, if it doesn't happen, who knows, huh? Don't look good, let me tell you that. I'll say that. It won't look good for us. Yeah. Good games last night. Tonight's games, these four games will round out. And it'll be the Elite Eight. So when you watch the games tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, on the basketball floor, because the games last night and tonight, you saw on the floor. It said Sweet on when you watched the game on the left. On the left, it says Sweet 16. In the middle of the floor, it'll say Sweet 16 Elite 8. And then, of course, on the right, the road to the Final Four. And then it tells you in the middle, right in front of the table, middle, where the game's being played. The games are being played in New York, Las Vegas, Louisville. Where's the other one at? I know the Final Four is in Houston. The Final Four is in Houston. You know. And so the game tonight, yeah. Well, let's talk about the game last night very, very quickly so we can get done with this. The game last night was very, very good. I fell asleep. I was tired. Fell asleep on the last two games because I was turning back and forth. And when I was watching them, the team I wanted to win was winning. but Gonzaga pulled it out against UCLA. And the other game, what was that? Oh, man. Yeah, it was Florida. And I tell you, I'm liking? I'm liking that one team. They are looking good. Because the teams that I had, they're gone. Yeah, they're gone. And so tonight is San Diego State and Alabama. And then Houston and Miami. Princeton and Creighton. Get rid of Princeton. Come on, Creighton. And then Texas and Xavier. You know, I wish that that you know, because Tennessee and Florida Atlantic University beat Tennessee, yeah, and they beat Tennessee, and they had that young brother, short guard, and he's killing 20 some points and almost 20 assists. You know? Yeah. And UConn beat Arkansas. My grandson wasn't too happy, but hey. But no, K-State, that's what I'm thinking of with the young guard, short guard. Yeah. Marquise Noel, man. He was killing. That was a 93-98. He, young man, was killing, but believe me. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe sentimentally I'm going to take K-State. But you know what March Madness is, family? That's right. It is a stirring reminder of what America was founded on. Making tons of money off the labor of unpaid African people. That's what March Madness, everybody's making tons of money. And a couple of people on, because they were talking about name, image, and likeness, which I'm not fond of, because number one, it's not inclusive. Some individuals will do well. Some individuals have done well in high school with name, image, and likeness, even before they got to college or universities. And that's some. And it's and believe me, it is a few. Some have garnered thousands of dollars, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. Some, because of their notoriety and their ability to utilize social media, have done real well. That's some. But it's still a problem because it ain't the people that are really doing it in major college, in the major college sports of basketball and football. Yeah.
This
So 646, good afternoon. Good morning, 646. 646. Okay, all right. Talk with you later. Hope you call back. 646. I hope you call back. Yeah, today I'm going to be playing some things that people sent me. You know, Brother Paul sends me a whole bunch of stuff. A number of people have sent me stuff. Mama Marimba sent me a piece I'm going to play after the break. You know, so yeah. And one brother sent me a piece. Brother Paul sent me this piece that I'm going to play now. Still marking the 20th anniversary of the Iraqi War. And this is pretty much where Brother Paul is coming from. This is the UK side, you know, the UK side. And this is from Double Down. It's Double Down, but it's what Brother Paul sent me. And it's deep. So I'm going to play this. We're going to talk about it after the break. It's not long. We'll talk about it after the break and other things.
Well, the people who marched, what happened to them? The Muslim community penalized by the prevent system for telling the truth and for standing up for their rights. The people like Julian Assange imprisoned in Belmarsh for all these years for telling the truth. I remember Tony Blair, the day of February the 15th, when we had so many people marching in London. He said, even if 1 million people march in London, that's not as many as Saddam Hussein killed. Well, the war in Iraq ended up killing more people. He talked about human rights. This is about democracy. It's about getting rid of a dictatorship. After he stopped being prime minister, what did he spend his time doing? Advising dictators. The truth is, all of these were lies. All of them were things where they said, we are going to make things better, and actually they made it worse. And not just in Iraq. In the last 20 years, armament worldwide, amount of money spent on military has doubled. Nearly $2 trillion are now spent on arms every year, making the world a much more dangerous place. We've now got conflict, not just between dictator in the Middle East and the biggest imperial power in the world, the United States. We've now got effectively a proxy war in Ukraine between two major imperial powers, and both of them with nuclear arms. We've got the much more real possibility of war with China. Again, this will be a nuclear war and therefore the devastation of humanity. So exactly the opposite of what we were told 20 years ago has turned out to be the case. It's a more dangerous world. Iraq's a much more dangerous place. We have far more refugees than we had then. The Taliban in Afghanistan back in control. Terrorism has grown. And indeed, where did ISIS and Al-Qaeda come from? Well, in Iraq, they came from British-occupied Basra province, where they were formed in prison, where many Iraqis were in prisons. And the shameful thing is that the people who created the war are still being given awards, are still making huge amounts of money, and in the case of Tony Blair, is still being invited onto the BBC to give his views on absolutely everything, instead of being in the dock at The Hague, which is where I think most people in Britain would like him to be. From the very beginning, from the time he went to Bush's ranch in the spring of 2002, Tony Blair was absolutely fully committed to every aspect of the war in Iraq. He lied about the existence of weapons of mass destruction, which had never been found because they didn't exist. And there were all sorts of people who said so at the time, including the UN weapons inspectors, who you might think would be people who did have some particular knowledge about this. This was all dismissed by Blair, by Alistair Campbell, when they devised a dossier. And this is the man who promoted the dossier. It was over the Evening Standard that day. Iraq can attack Britain in 45 minutes. I think a period of silence from Alistair Campbell would be welcomed by everybody, instead of which he seems to be in podcasts and on couches all over the TV studios. This tells you something about the lack of integrity and the lack of morals of so much of our media coverage. I think the media role was very, very important. And again, that hasn't really been held to account at all. If you look at the broadcast media, particularly the BBC, it was an absolute disgrace. I remember Andrew Marr, who was the political correspondent, who just after the war started said Tony Blair had won this argument.
He said that they would be able to take Baghdad without a bloodbath and that in the end the Iraqis would be celebrating. And on both of those points he has been proved conclusively right, and it would be entirely ungracious, even for his critics, not to acknowledge that tonight he stands as a larger man and a stronger prime minister as a result.
20 years on, this is so important because it's not just about the past, it's not just about the present, it's also about the future. And this question of war is going to become a bigger and bigger question over the next 2 or 3 years. The project for a new American century was essentially about trying to redraw the world on pro-US lines. American hegemony had to be maintained and had to be extended. Many of Bush's key advisors were people who were part of that project. They could see that China was a rising power. It's a rising power economically. It was also becoming a major military power. China is today the second biggest military power in the world. It has long been a permanent member of the UN Security Council, and it has long been a nuclear power. So the project saw the threat of China as a very real one. And they wanted to change the politics of the Far East, of the Pacific, in terms of the rise of China and to strengthen the United States in that region. They also wanted to redraw the politics of the Middle East, and that particularly meant boosting Saudi Arabia and Israel as their two closest allies in the region against Iraq and against Iran, and that's a policy that's continued. The Middle East itself, there are very few democratic governments, and that is to do with the way in which imperial powers decided on a particular form of government which really didn't care about democracy. They were concerned with having regimes which were closely connected to them politically, economically and militarily, and that's what's been created. Yes, Saddam Hussein was a dictator. He was a dictator who was put into power through the acts of the United States, but he was by no means unique in that region. Saudi Arabia, for example, has been engaged in a war against Yemen for 7 years. No question about regime change. The murder of a journalist carried out at the behest of members of the Saudi royal family. Nothing is done. You know, we're talking here about extremely undemocratic states. The British government, the United States governments are perfectly happy to work with those people as long as they keep the area secure for oil profits. That's the bottom line. We had many, many Iraqis in this country who campaigned with us against the war in Iraq. Not because they liked Saddam, actually they had suffered, they'd been put in prison, they'd suffered terrible torture, they'd suffered all sorts of things at his hand. So they knew exactly what was going on, but they also knew that the war was not going to make it better for ordinary Iraqis. Actually, it would mean, as it has meant, a breakup of the country, a complete destruction of lives, of livelihoods, of huge numbers of refugees who are treated appallingly when they get to any of the countries that were involved in the war, the impact of things like depleted uranium, all sorts of terrible things that the Iraqi people have suffered. Perhaps the most shocking one was the revelation of what happened in the Iraqi prison of Abu Ghraib, where American troops were torturing people, were photographing them in the most degrading way, were treating them like animals, were doing all these sorts of things. This is not only in contravention of every international legal agreement about the way in which prisoners of war, or indeed any prisoners, should be treated. It also told you exactly what the occupation was about. The occupation was about repression and cruelty and putting down the people who dared to stand up against the American invasion. And Abu Ghraib showed that in the most horrific terms. But, you know, you can't separate a brutal war, shock and awe, the bombing of cities which took place, the invasion, the cruelty, the siege of Fallujah, all these things that went on. You can't separate that from the repression that followed. They're very much part of the same thing. And if you're invading a country and occupying a country, one of the things you have to do is to dehumanize the population that you're occupying, because you have to justify what you're doing. And that's what they did. war is embedded in the kind of society we live in. We live in a society which is imperialist, which is about conquering other countries and extracting money from other countries. We live in a society where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. So they don't care about whether your hospital is crumbling. They don't care if the roof of your children's school is leaking. They don't care if you can't afford to heat or eat and you have to choose, or maybe these days you can't even afford both. They really don't care about those things. What they do care about is preserving their wealth and power and their ability to spread that wealth and power. And war and weapons are absolutely central to their ability to do so. This is locked into their system, and that's why they do it. And that's why we have to fight against it. We've got a mainstream media which is really not open to any views which don't coincide with a very, very narrow consensus. We need independent media so much. It's so important that we can get alternative views out. That's why it's important to subscribe to Double Down News on Patreon.
Ashe, Double Down News on Patreon. That's a follow-up from the piece we did earlier in the week when it was the 20th. This past Monday, the 20th year of the Iraqi war, the Western entities coming together to get rid of Saddam Hussein. And when you listen to the USA piece, when they were constantly saying, no, they don't have weapons of mass destruction. No, it wasn't Iraq that 9/11, no. But Bush was insistent. Why? Iraqi oil. Cheney and his cohorts and Rumsfeld, all of them were insistent. And they sold it to the American people and all the entities. A free and independent press would have been more serious if they had it. But ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, all of them believed the hype, believed the lie. And they killed Saddam Hussein and messed up the country. They killed Muammar Gaddafi and messed up the country. That's what they do. They destabilize, manipulate, and take resources. They're thieves and liars. I don't know about you. Sometimes I'm glad that there's some adversary, because I know there are some people who wish that, no, I wish that there were no adversaries and that the Christian Europeans, the white people, they're good Christians, and the world would be a much better place. No, it won't. Because it's bullshit. But people want to believe that. They want to believe that this lifestyle would be perpetuated globally and everybody would be happy. Now, granted, to say that in America, to keep dissension down, to keep things down, you are given the ability. But of course, white people being who they are, and I was listening to Francis earlier, Dr. Francis Cresswell's, you know, talking about European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy, and how it operates and how it functions. And as she says, it operates in everything they do, in all nine areas of people activity. Everything is in everything. And yet we feel, we think that somehow we can reform that. We can appeal to their moral nature. We can join whatever they have and make it ours and make it theirs, and we can share. No, brothers and sisters, it hasn't happened. It's not happening, and it ain't gonna happen. Let me take a break, family, and be on the better side. I got a few other things I'm going to. Brother Paul sent me and a piece that Mama Marimba sent. And so just some of the stuff that people send. And I mean, just really good stuff. Stuff I get off of WhatsApp. Good stuff off WhatsApp. And this was Paul and Double Down. Be looking at Double Down for a number of times too. Yeah, I tell you, you know, it's deep. So I'm going to play a little something. That's right, family. You know why? Because today is Shaka. Well, yesterday was Shaka Khan's birthday. You know. Yeah. Shaka Khan. She was born on the 23rd of. She's 70 years old. She's 70. George Benson's birthday is around this time. He's 80. And Quincy Jones' birthday around this time. He's 90. She's Shaka Khan, Yvette Marie Stevens. Yvette Marie Stevens, better known as Shaka Khan, is 70. George Benson is 80. And Quincy Jones. I played Quincy Jones a couple days ago, shorts ago, which is one of my favorite Body Heat. Yeah, Quincy Jones. Yeah, she's from Chicago. Yeah, Shaka Khan. Rufus. Remember when they came out in the 70s? And to see her, man, I bet you all the brothers was in love with Shaka Khan. You know. Yep. Yeah. So we're going to play a little something for you and come back and talk about it. Yeah. Love Shaka Khan. And Rufus. Sometimes my electronics just don't be happening. Oh, this is not the one I wanted to play, but I'll play this anyway. So it's a piece of.
Boy, do I have an idea. We'll put together our own act.
But a team, the three of you and me as manager. She ain't no street dancer. She knows nothing about what we do.
She can learn.
Yeah. Oh.
You can teach me.
We're asking for trouble. And now I know we're in trouble.
Got you every day. That's the way it was. It happened so naturally. Didn't I know it was love? The next thing I know is you holding me close. What was I gonna do? I let myself go. And now we fly.
Chaka Khan. That was, I don't know if that was Beat Street or Breaking, or one of them, 83. That's not the one I wanted, but damn it, we got it through. Yeah, Chaka Khan, beautiful sister. Like I said, and as many of us growing up in, well, actually young adults coming into the 70s, early 70s, when we became legally of age, 20, 21, 18, and then saw Chaka Khan, like, whoosh, man, she is cold, beautiful. And of course, Rufus and the Musical Rufus. That was another one of the only albums I had bought. Great songs in there too, though, man. Yeah. Chaka Khan. She's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And honestly, I could care less, but of course, she should be. Mary J. Blige is not in there. She should be. And many others, but I don't care if they're in or not. As long as we recognize them, we love them, we praise them. You know, I'm quite sure she would love to be. You know, yeah. Let me just tell this quick story, and then I can get back to subject at hand. I used to be president of the African World Festival, and as president, they would give you our board, me and my board members, tickets to the other festivals and to the Summer Fest, which is the largest music festival in the country. And a beautiful venue on the lakefront in on Lake Michigan in Milwaukee, just a nice place. But anyway, so one of the first festivals is Pride Fest, and Chaka was going to be the performer at Pride Fest. So partner of mine, me and him went, and of course, you know, the main thing that these cats wanted to hear Chaka sing was "I Am Every Woman." You know, but Chaka at the time, she was battling weight and other issues that she was having. You know, she had done a lot of good things, man, and in spite of the things that she was going through, you know, and continued. But my boy got on, he says, "Man, Chaka got more chin than a Chinese phone book." I was like, "Damn, man. She got more chin than a Chinese phone book." But yeah, she overcame all of that and cleaned herself up, and she looks great. She looks great. Because I saw her here in Atlanta at one of the outdoor festivals. They had like four venues, I think, for outdoor festivals here in the Atlanta area. The first one I used to go to was one I haven't been since I've been here, you know, Chastain Park. I haven't even heard the advertisement for Chastain Park. But anyway, yeah, Chaka Khan, 70 years old. She looks great. She looks beautiful. Some of the things that people send me, I know that Brother Paul sends me a number of things. In fact, I'm going to send another piece that Brother Paul sent me. I thought that was pretty decent. You know, they send it to you on WhatsApp. Brother Kwaku, Mama Marimba, Brother Kwambanan Folsom, my good friend Brother Jim Winbush. So I'll probably do this again, maybe once or twice a month, because they send me a lot of good stuff, you know. And so does Brother Paul. He does. He really sends me good stuff, man. And appreciate Brother Paul. And this piece, where am I at here? Yeah. One of the Nation Brothers, you know, where he got this piece, who knows? But it's a good piece.
Talk about depopulation, and what are your thoughts on that as well, Reza? Because, I mean, that's been floating around. Some folks say it's rumor, some folks say it's fact.
Ooh, okay.
What's your argument on that?
Well, I'll say this. See, this is the beauty when we deal with actual facts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go straight to the United States government policy. You have what's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200, which was authorized, written under Dr. Henry Kissinger, who was the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Pardon me. Documentation. Now, this is all we go straight to what the U.S. government has stated.
Mm-hmm.
He stated, quote, "Depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world," end quote. They literally stated in this documentation that we need to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people on planet Earth. Outside of that, you have something called Global 2000, which was also authorized under Jimmy Carter, outlining how food can be used as a weapon. Outside of that, you have someone by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a former advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who stated, quote, "In earlier times, it was easier to control a million people than to physically kill a million people." He said, "But now it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than it is to control," end quote. So what you're dealing with is the food, the air, the water, reproductive services, Planned Parenthood, and all these different arenas are being used to go towards an effort of getting rid of human beings, black, white, and all in between, by the billions, by a government-sponsored, pharmaceutically-sponsored conspiracy. Now, a conspiracy is when two or more groups, people, or organizations come together to do something that is evil and or wicked. Conspiracy is a real thing. Conspiracy theory is when you're not sure of what is happening. That's a theory. We're dealing with conspiracy fact. Conspiracy documentation, conspiracy organized calculated schemes that are being conducted by people on high. And guess what? Again, they coming after black and white folks. And all in between, black folks are number one. Don't ever get it twisted. We are the number one target. But at this point, they are looking at the reality that people are waking up too fast. They didn't expect us to wake up too fast, hence social media being a problem, a gift and a curse. You see what I'm saying? So now that we're waking up so quickly, they didn't expect the masses of humanity to rise up, wake up, become aware of what this government's agenda is. And because of that, now they're trying to figure out exactly how to get rid of people. They say these white folks is waking up. They're coming against us, their government. Black folks is waking up. They're coming against us. So now at this point, they're like, well, just get rid of them all.
All you scared to death Negroes.
Yeah, they're coming after all you Negroes. No, it's serious. Bill Gates talked about what is experiencing these viruses. Population control to kill people. You know, when he was at, I don't know if it was a TED talk or if it was just him addressing an audience of Caucasians, when he said, we have developed viruses to be used for population control. We've developed vaccines to be used as population control. And I'm like, when people develop a vaccine, in my understanding, it was to help people to possibly help with the cure of whatever the viruses or bacteria is attacking and killing people. Not to, the vaccine itself was to destroy or kill people. But yes, because these folks are serious. Now, the irony is abortion. And that is for Caucasians globally, because why? Their population is declining and has been in decline. That's why the issue that they don't want white women to have abortions. They want us to have all the abortions and sterilization as possible. But no. 646-646, good afternoon.
Hey, Ochi, what's happening, brother?
How are you, Jay?
Huh?
Good, I'm fine. What's happening?
Not much, man. The volume on this is kind of crazy, man.
Oh, on the program itself?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
On the program.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's all good.
Okay.
No, I was just calling to see if you was on today. I wasn't sure if you had went to that Baltimore thing this week. Or,
no, that's a few weeks. Know. Yeah, that's a couple of weeks from now.
I thought it may have been this week, you know. Did Irv go on that trip to the motherland yet?
No, man, that's next week, brother.
Oh, beautiful. Man.
Yeah, man. That's next week.
I hope he has a good time.
I do too, man. Him and his queen. Him and his lady.
Is he going with Bobby and Tube?
No. He's going
with the brother that was on Wednesday?
He's going with the brother that was on Wednesday. Brother Bomani Tahimba of Africa 40 Africans, who is right here in Atlanta. He's going with him. And that. It's going to be on, man. And like I said, when Brother Bomani was on this past Wednesday, man, he outlined a few other great things that are in the future for Africa, for the Africans, in terms of trips of a lifetime that are very affordable, you know.
Yeah, I had heard him years ago when he used to go on Brother Kenny Owado's show.
That's right.
When he was taking the trip. So he's been taking the trips for years, man. Now Irv should have a beautiful, beautiful time, man.
And, I agree.
I mean, it's nothing like Africa, man. I mean, the scenery, you know, the best thing that I enjoyed about when I was there was taking a long road trip to this brother's house. And you could look at the scenery, and it was just amazing, man. Nothing like it, man. I mean, it was mind-boggling, man. And you know, the thing is, man, when you in Africa and you got money, man, you live no joke, bro. America houses don't have nothing on what's over there in the motherland as far as
what you can build,
you know, architecture,
right? Because what you can build and if you have the resources, what's always interesting
if you have the resources. I mean, you know, I had one of the things that impressed me was the marble flooring, man. I mean,
you're right.
Man, the granite in the kitchens and things of that nature, the mirroring, just the architecture, man. You know, one would think that the architecture would not be the way that it was, but it was just phenomenal. And it goes to show, you know, what we really about when having the opportunities and the ability to do it. But, you know, other than that, man, you know, it's just same old, same old. What was you discussing today?
A myriad of things. You know, people send me stuff on WhatsApp and other forums and so forth all the time. Brother Paul, a couple other people. Mama Marimba, I'm going to play a piece that she sent me. Here's another piece that Brother Paul sent me that I'm going to play. Just for discussion, because I appreciate these and I want to share them as I get them, especially if I know that the listening audience would appreciate what has been shared. You know, like I say,
what did they send you today?
No, nothing today. These are all stuff that I keep and still on my phone.
Oh, okay.
Still on my phone or on there. And this here piece that I'm going to play. What the hell happened? And these, I tell you, boy. You know, things.
Yeah, what's going on with Atlanta and Fannie Willis, man? I heard they trying to remove her from office.
No, not that I heard of. I haven't heard anything. If that's the case, I'm quite sure the Republicans would love to get rid of Fannie Willis, but that's not happening.
That's what I heard yesterday, that they were trying to get rid of her to prevent this so-called indictment of this edible, man. Yeah. I mean, this boy is getting wilder and wilder, more egregious with his pronouncement of trying to incite violence in this country and start a race war.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, people are not taking it serious, man. You know, like I always tell people, you got to be on your swivel with this white man, because when he feels cornered, he does one thing: he start committing killings.
Yeah,
he don't play. You know what I mean? He'll start a war just to get it on and popping.
Well, that's just like the piece I just played. The Brother Paul sent me on the 20th anniversary of the Iraqi War from a British perspective. You know. And the same with the U.S. It's just Caucasian people. Collectively, they are about war. They are about destabilization. Yeah. They're about taking resources. They're about murdering, mass murdering people. That's who they are. That's what they are about. In fact, the fact is, today at this very moment, the brink of war is just teetering. They're just right there. Because all these folks that got nuclear weapons, and in fact the building of weaponry since that time of 20 years ago, they have poured
escalated.
They poured trillions of dollars into weapons, man.
You know, this is what I had to ask you, man. What do you think about what Uganda did
in terms of kicking out
In terms of making the law that they don't want no homosexuality.
And I was just about to play a piece of that on that. Yeah, well.
Yeah, but you see, this is the thing that people, that our people don't realize, because we don't really think that well or see the big picture on certain things. Here you have America promoting homosexuality, monkey manism, twisted sisterism, and all of that, right? And then their Supreme Court goes and make it to where as women can't have abortions. And the reason behind that is because white people want to increase white population, right?
Okay.
But now here it is, when you reject homosexuality, what is that doing?
Well, that's decreasing the ability, right?
Heterosexual population. So do you see the contradiction?
Of course.
Here it is. You want to make it to where, as white women, are forced to have babies,
right?
Which
of course
happen.
They may grow up to be homosexual, which therefore consistently decreases
gonna,
population.
Then they're not going to
reproduce.
Not gonna reproduce.
They're not
you
gonna
see
reproduce.
What I'm saying?
Yes.
But I always say this. This is what I was telling some friends of mine the other night. We were sitting down having a nice little meal. I was saying to them that as far as this abortion thing go, at some point in time, it's going to be repealed just like Roe versus Wade was, because the reality is this. The right white woman got to die from having an illegal abortion in order for shit to happen. Until that happens, they're going to keep on trying to push this foolishness. And white people are going to not have babies, because white women don't want babies. They don't want to be subjected to that old lifestyle that they had to live, because now they've been able to integrate into society and attain power positions to whereas they don't want to stay home and have babies. Mm-hmm. But nobody analyzes that or deals with that. But the contradiction is so heavy. You want a country that doesn't want to support or promote homosexuality because it's anti-reproduction, if the truth is to be told. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then you want to force people to give birth. I mean, this cracker is an amazing, amazing species, man, with his bullshit.
Yeah, it is. It's just rather ironic.
The contradiction is heavy, B.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And unfortunately, we don't have the type of leadership that would point that out. I mean, don't Uganda have the right to...
Sure they do.
...put forward their cultural expression,
sure they do.
Their cultural
way
they would like their society to be, because they're supposed to be a sovereign nation? Am I right or wrong?
I agree with it. I agree that you're right. But the contention was that if you want these aids from European countries, from the United States, if you want us to give you money, then you must be more appeasing to a population and change your culture. You know, that's what that was Barack Obama's thing when he was in there. You know, if you want this aid from us, then you must accept, you know, all people. You must accept all people. You must not discriminate. You must not be this way or that way, you know.
But, look what happened there, though. That's why you got the situation to where as African countries are now gravitating more towards China and Russia. Because they don't put that type of cultural demands on them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And America cannot deal with that, nor do they tell the truth about it. You know what I mean? Nor do we have leadership that stands up and speaks up about it and puts forward what I just said. And you know, the sad thing is, homosexuality in this country didn't move the way that it moved in this country until they convinced the pork chop chicken eating black preachers to go along with that bullshit.
Right.
Once that happened, it was what you call, because remember, Obama never agreed with that, right? And then he became the biggest component of it because I guess they must, did whatever they did to him.
Right.
Maybe somebody bit him over in the room.
That's
and
alleged.
He enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's
and,
alleged.
You know, he realized what he was missing.
Yeah, right.
You never know.
Yeah,
but the point of the matter is, you know, people have to really look at things from an objective perspective with dealing with this cracker.
Yeah.
Because this cracker will bamboozle you in a minute and get you seeing things one way when the reality, it's a whole different way. Why nobody never talks about homosexuality as anti-birth?
Mm-hmm.
You want the population of whiteness to increase in this country, but you don't want to deal with the freakiness, the twisted sisterism of the society. And the thing that always kills me is, how in God's green earth do you promote transgenderism? Now that's the one right there that gets me.
Yeah, well, anyway, let me play this, Jay. You hang on, man. I'm going to get back
yes,
with you later.
Yes, brother, go all ahead right. And play these clips because I'm going to hang on. All right?
Thank you. Peace.
My man.
And build schools. Chirima Parents Primary School, where we are standing, is the school that I built in 1994. It is followed by Nyamirama Parents Primary School, which I built in the year 2000, followed by Nyakabungo Parents Primary School, 2003, Rutenga Parents Primary School, 2003, Great Lakes High School, 2006, and Great Lakes Regional University, 2004. I own these properties, and we got a problem. A group of members of staff, one Honest Wilkins in Atukwasa and one Eden Anyamishana, talked to a group in the UK who are trying to introduce homosexuality to my schools. And they wrote an email to say the government of Uganda is opposing homosexuality, but we have given sponsorship for children. We direct that you write a policy to say that homosexuality is to be promoted in chief court schools. And I told them to get lost. I told Karen Senate, you can never do that. I told whoever proposed that. So they played the trick and connived with staff who you can see standing there. And they promised them that since they are Bazungu and I have worked with the Bazungu, therefore they will take away my enterprise and give it to them. So they bribed the police and got us out of the institutions and staged a defense. But I own these projects. I own the land. I control the board. I own the training licenses. And the schools are now set to open.
Chigezi TV, Neshimiza.
Ashe, we appreciate a strong brother like that. You know, appreciate that. That was beautiful, man. I own it. Hey, you ain't going to tell me what. Try to come up in my face with that. Get out of here with that. I'm going to play this piece by Mama Marimba. And because this is what we talk about here on African Perspectives. Independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Presentation that she gave, that she has given. I've heard it many times myself on. And so hang on, it's not that long, and then we'll go back to our listeners to discuss whatever. So this, for some reason, when I hit this, always has to warm up.
But a warrior has got to be able to go against what seems to be popular. A warrior has got to up the ante, push the envelope. But in order to do that, we got to be clear about who we are and what it is that we want. And that's what the so-called leaders have not been able to give us. They have no agenda. So that means that you're always compromising because you're always acting out of fear. If leadership really meant something, then you would never act out of fear. That's not to say you don't get afraid sometimes. But fear can't be your agenda. Fear cannot be your agenda. So these leaders are clearly not warriors. And we're talking about warriors. Now, the warrior spirit makes you able to confront whatever needs to be confronted and let the chips fall where they may.
That's right.
And what we've done is to develop a program, a plan, and so forth, which is to say, let us go the way of the least resistance. What's the easiest way? What's the way that's, you know, not going to get people mad at us? That's not a political agenda, and it's not a position of a sovereign people. So I think what I'm really doing is questioning this whole thing of leadership. We've watered down the concept of a leader. We have Yorubarized the concept of a leader. So that now, who we consider to be leaders, it's you got to be a star. And when I say a star, I don't mean a black star. I mean like Hollywood. That's what I mean. You got to be popular, and you got to say the popular things. See, I was trained by Nana John Henry Clark, and that gives me the power to say what I think is truth to my people. And that's what he did. Even when it was unpopular among our people, he had to tell the truth. But he said, watch out now. He ain't working for you. Watch out. And people came to him and they warned him. They said, Professor Clark, you really want to say that? You really want to take this position? He said, yeah, because this is the truth. Now, that's who I was trained by, so I got to do the same thing, okay? But when we talk about leader now, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the person who wants to remain popular. We're talking about the person who may be glib, got away with words, but they really not saying anything. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the person who develops this personality thing that makes them all about them. We're talking about the person who always wants to stay in the limelight. Person who's ego tripping. So I'm suggesting that we scratch that term, leader. And that what we need are organizers, we need warriors. We need victors. Me, I'm in it to win it. There's nothing less than that. That's what Baba Kobe said on Friday. We in it to win it. So we do whatever we have to do to make that happen. And we say whatever we know is truth or believe is truth or have thought about it. Okay? Problem is that the so-called leaders are not doing political analysis. They're not doing historical analysis. So therefore, they're not in a position to be a vanguard. You see, they're not in a position to teach because they're not doing the work that you do when you want to take your people where they need to go. So I'm raising that here, and I'm saying that we need to more think in terms of what we need to be in order to be warriors, what we need to be in order to be organizers of our people, and then
one of the most important things, which I will be talking about, is being visionaries. That's what we're lacking. If a person gets up in front of you and they say, they purport to be your leader, or somebody presents them as a leader, you have a responsibility to confront them, not in a negative way, but to say to them, what is your vision for our people? And I will guarantee you that most of the people now that are called leaders by the media would kind of scratch their head a bit. They would, you know, chip a little and do all of that stuff because they have not thought about that and do not have a position with regard to what is a vision of victory for our people. You got to have that because that's what tells you how to organize. And that's why we don't have an agenda, because the people who are supposed to be developing all of that don't do it. They don't have an agenda. So that everything they do is reacting to what the enemy does. You see? We have to even have a vision that goes beyond the presence and existence of Yorugu.
That's right.
We have to be able to envision a world with no Yorugu. An African world. Then what do we want it to look like? What do we want for our children in our world? We have to have the courage to construct our own reality. And that's what Garvey was talking about.
That's right.
Because he said he looked around. He didn't see what he thought should be there. And so what did he do? He didn't get depressed about it. He didn't get defeated about it. He said, I'm going to build the government that we need to have. Woo. Where do you get that kind of boldness from? So we got to go all the way back to Garvey, who said he would come again. He said he would be here with us, no matter how long it took. And I'm telling you, that the way he comes back is in our work. Not honoring him in words, or pomp, and all of that stuff, but honoring him through doing what he did. How many of us have the courage to do that? The man took on the world for us and in our name. But let me go on. Okay, it's about power, y'all. And anybody who talks about anything else or tries to make it about anything else, you know, they just shucking and jiving. It's all about power. Okay? Let us, what I want to do is, I want to introduce some concepts, because one of the things that I do, that I've used as a process, rather than a methodology, because it takes me, it transforms me, is to study our ancestral civilizations, our ancestral languages, and get from them concepts that we can use to anchor our thoughts, and then use those concepts to apply to us now. Okay, that's my work. And so today I want to quickly introduce to you some concepts, and I'm going to use a kind of paradigm, a model, that comes from the Dogana people of Mali.
Okay.
And the first one that's up there is Sodai, which is clear vision. And I'm saying that we need to be developing vision. And the vision has got to be of African sovereignty. That's clear. And it keeps us focused. So what I want to do is to go back through quickly through the paradigm. And stop me if there's anything that you don't understand. And I hope some people are taking notes. Hope a lot of people are taking notes. Jerry Sow in this paradigm would be like the most, I started to say fundamental, but it isn't fundamental at all. It's like the lowest level of knowing. It really is the level on which the European worldview is built. It's the most simplistic, not simple in a good way, but simplistic. So we call it word from the front. And that means, really, what you see is what you get. You see what I'm saying? Is that it is the literal level. It is the superficial level.
It you know, has no calls depth.
Yes, I am.
Now, you know, to understand anything that African people are talking about, doing, their music, you know, our science, all the things that we did, you got to think deeply. And this is about African deep thought. It's, you know, you can't be easy on yourself when it comes to African thought and African life and organizing for African people. You got to work. You got to think, and you got to think deeply. Jerry Sow is not that. Again, it's what you see is what you get. So ain't no interpretation, and it can't be any understanding. So Jerry Sow is sight without understanding. Everybody got that? Now we go to Benny Sow. And what happens at Benny Sow is that you begin to look at the thing and from different angles, you know, you get some perspective, and it translates word from the side. Now, I'm going to tell you, I see these things, I've read them, I have not been to Mali, so I have not spoken with a Dogana person. I am interpreting and using them just like I did with the term Ma'afa, just like I did with the term Yorugu. I am using my African spirit to say, how does this apply to us? And how can we use this for analysis? Okay? So Benny Sow is where we begin to think. You ain't even thinking at the Jerry Sow level. Not African thought. Okay? So we're at Benny Sow, and we're beginning to develop a viewpoint. We're beginning to develop a perspective. And one of the most important things that I teach our children, and I'm talking little, you know, from six on, is that we have to understand we have a perspective as African people. And so what you want your children to know, and yourselves, is to look at and develop and know what is the African-centered perspective on whatever it is that you're talking about. Okay? If somebody tells you, oh, there's just this objective thing and it's you know, universal and so you don't need to interpret, then they're running a game on you. And that's what the Europeans do and have been able to convince some of our people who are in the universities that, yeah, this is the highest form, is this objective thing that has no cultural base. That's a big mistake, okay? Because that particular objective truth of whatever it is that they say they're giving you represents their worldview and their perspective, which is anti-African. And you're going for it. You're going for the okey-doke, but we're going for it. Okay, so I'm coming back here and saying, no, everybody's got a perspective. Every culture creates and generates a perspective, and we got to know ours. But at any rate, so at the level of Benny Sow, we're beginning to establish the a viewpoint, a perspective, which allows us then to interpret things from our point of view. Got it? This is simple. So then I say that this, Benny Sow, is the level of sight with thought and perspective. Everybody with me? Good. Then we move to another level, and boloso is translated word from behind. Well, what I do when I'm working with the children is to say to them, I let them interpret it and think about it. What do you think that means? Because it really is open to us thinking and looking at it in different ways. There's no right or wrong way. For me, if I stand in front of something and I can see behind, then that means I can see through it. So I'm saying you're going inside there. So that's really deep. You can get inside something, okay? So I say it's penetrating to the inner meaning of whatever it is that you're looking at. Now, remember, if we go all the way back to Jiri So, you're just looking at the surface and thinking that you know something. You don't know nothing, okay? Because you're not at the level of meaning. Meaning is very, very important. Without meaning, what is something? You know, they say, just give me the facts. All I want is the facts. Fact is nothing out of context. For a fact to have meaning, you have to put it into a context. And we define what that context is. And what is it? It's African sovereignty. Okay, so where does it fit within that? That's how we determine the meaning of something. And our children can do that. If we train them properly, they can think on that level when they're little. So we are finding the essence of a thing at the level of Bolo. So we're seeing through it and we are getting insight. Insight. You see how that works? Okay? Understanding on a deeper level, you get insight into something, into how it works. And that's a problem for us because we haven't studied how the system works and the mistake that we made again in 2008. And so you would expect our people generally to make this mistake, but not the so-called leadership, is that it wasn't personal, y'all. And it ain't personal now. It's not about a person. It is about a system. And that system is oppressive to us. And the one thing that I would add to what Daruba was saying was that we got to look at what this administration did with regard to Africa and is doing with regard to Africa, our motherland, that we have a responsibility to protect. We got to understand, every person here should know what AFRICOM is. Okay, and if you don't, then you go back home and look it up and study it. Go to Black Agenda Report and begin looking and getting that information. See what Brother DJ does on the cipher. And is that what you call it? Okay. Get this information. Because AFRICOM didn't just start in 2008. But Obama was on board and said that he was going to take it to another level. And what it is a military presence of U.S. in Africa, which is poised to bomb and kill our people. And, of course, steal the resources which are supposed to be ours. Well, what is that? That's imperialism. That's colonialism, y'all. But see, what you're thinking is, and the mistake that we're thinking, it may be imperialism, it may be colonialism, but it ain't slavery. That's really what we're thinking somewhere in the back there, or feeling. That we're not slaves. But I'm going to ask you the question. What is to prevent us from being that? Do we have the power? Have we consolidated our power? So that we can defend ourselves and prevent ourselves from being slaves? Can we protect our children? Brothers, can you protect your wives? You see what I'm saying? That only comes from power. And it comes from a consciousness that says who we are. You gotta know how you define we. Getting back to this, the paradigm. So that's Bolo So. And then we come to So Dai. And in this presentation of the paradigm, I'm going to make this like what it is we want to reach. So So Dai is translated clear word in Dogana language. And I use it to mean that here we gain understanding. This is sight with understanding. And it is seeing beyond what just we think we see with this physical thing. It's seeing beyond that. And so we gain vision, because that's what vision is. With vision, you've got to be able to use the imagination. The imagination informed by the African spirit. And Brother Amos, who I work very closely with, was a good friend of mine. He taught me, and he would talk about imagination. Image a nation. Do you see? But that's got to be part of vision. To be a visionary, you got to see beyond this box here. You got to see beyond the Ma'afa. You got to see what is it that our people rightfully should have, and that's what Garvey did. Garvey had a vision.
Ashe. Mama Rumba, Bibi Fahariye. We will be victorious. Bibi Fahariye. Going to take some calls. 913-913. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Oshie, I know you're doing well. I can hear it in your voice.
All right. I hear you. Thank you, brother. You too.
You know, yeah, you know, I hesitate calling, not you, but, you know, I used to call radio stations somewhat regularly.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, and this is not a personal comment, it's an observation and a comparison. Like, I look at it like a chess game. I love the game chess. My grandfather taught me how to play chess, and it showed me a lot of principles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he beat me, like, goodness, had to be 500 times before I ever beat him. But the one time that I beat him was because I played like he instructed, like I observed he was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to adapt a lot of his procedures and things that I've done. And I actually beat him. I didn't beat him much after that either. But I did beat him at that one time. And it even shocked him. I'm stating that to say, we collectively seem to fantasize on history, things that have happened. And we can't change anything that has happened.
Right.
It's done. What we don't focus on, in my opinion, is what can happen. And how to start that process, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
The future is the only thing we have to look forward to. And if that just means something, just waking up tomorrow morning, that's in the future. I got to make sure I got electricity on and you know, gas. But I'm saying we spend, in my opinion, an inordinate, and not you, but I'm saying we spend an inordinate amount of time talking about what has happened and try to get glory out of that. But I want to see a process or a procedure or I've thought, man, if we could just get in touch with every black person in this country and say, let's don't work Friday. Nobody do nothing Friday. We would scare the hell out of these people for a lot of reasons. Yeah. We might lose a day's pay. But they would say, oh, my God, these people have unified. And it will be like the step. It was like the first time I really started to learn chess.
Mm-hmm. Good
you
point.
Do things in a way that's supportive of each other. And we don't, we collectively, we don't do that. We want the nicest car. We want the nicest house. We don't want the nicest future. Right. I mean, I'm sorry, man. I got to say it.
Well, that's what that
we don't.
That's what she was saying in Mama Marimba in that presentation. That's what she was saying. You know, how do we vision this? How do we vision this? And the fact that we're in this kind of system teaches you not to think for yourself, but look at and think the way we want you to, and go after the things that we want to show you, that we want you to have. You know, it's not about
which
you.
Which is nothing.
No, it's not. It's
which is nothing. It's material. Mm-hmm. And every object of material that we acquire, they benefit before we do. We have to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
with their dollars, with their pictures of their presidents on the money that we spend.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It, like I said, man, we would scare that if we could get in touch with every black person in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and say, let's don't work Wednesday. There's nobody go to work. I don't care. You know, if you behind me in rent, we'll figure it out. We'll get it to you. Man, we were scared of, not only scared of hell, we would show ourselves that we can acquire unity. And that would be like step one in that chess game, man, where you realize
that is
like,
so vital.
That you realize a pawn can take a knight.
Exactly.
A pawn can take a bishop. A pawn can take a rook. It just has, you got to have the situation set up to do so and the support of the pawn.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if that makes any sense at all. That's how I think. I think weird. People have told me that all my life, and I don't mind, you know, because I don't think like them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. I hear you.
But,
all right.
Yeah, but I realize we're getting low on time, man, but I appreciate you just, you know, tolerating me for a couple minutes.
No, man, you're always good, Rick. I appreciate you, brother. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Have a blessed weekend.
Right.
Peace. Brother Paul, good afternoon. Brother Paul, are you there? Okay. Yeah, he was there. Yeah. Well, I played a couple of things that Brother Paul has given me, and I'll continue to do so. Because some of the things I think that, you know, our listeners would really appreciate. I know you appreciate the piece Mama Marimba sent. It's only like a 10-minute piece. Outstanding in terms of vision for us warriors. She ain't talking about leaders, these so-called leaders, the misleadership class, as it has been talked about, and the politicians and the preachers and so forth. No. No, we need real leadership. That's what we need. We need real leadership. No, we need warriors. We need warriors. Brother Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Baba Olchi. I know it's short of time, so I'm just going to put it very quickly. You had, you know, Mama Moringa, she says some very interesting information.
Yes.
And I was thinking, you know, you had Irritated Genie on there one stage.
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And he told us what the problem is. And the more I hear, the more I realize. You see, the reality, we got a problem, one problem. And when Irritated Genie came on, that is the problem. That is the problem we have today. We have no other problem but that problem he told us. And unless we're willing to acknowledge that problem and deal with it, then our problems are going to continue. And that problem, what Irritated Genie talked about, is global. It's in America.
Yes, it is.
It's in England.
Yes.
It's in Africa. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
He knows. And that is the problem we have today. As far as I'm concerned, we don't have no other problem but that problem he came on and explained.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that problem is.
Yep. So, I mean.
So I'll just leave it there.
All right, dear brother. Because I got to run. I appreciate you, Brother Paul. And I did play a couple of the pieces you sent. And, you know, Brother Paul has been sending me stuff. And like I said, and for all the others as well, I'll look at them. I think there's something to be shared. Brothers and sisters, I thank you for a great week. Continue to listen. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Be safe. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. A great weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.